We are going to pause for a moment and hear from God's word, and then we will invite the choir back to bless us some more. We've been doing a series on following Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, and this morning we're looking at the Mount of Transfiguration, and we are in Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, James, and John with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they came fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. Disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. The Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning, as we think about following Jesus, I want to think for a few moments about mountaintop moments. Mountaintop moments. I don't know if you've seen the new movie that's out on Mr. Rogers. Anyone seen the Mr. Rogers movie? Or maybe you are old enough to remember Mr. Rogers, and maybe you've read the book on Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers, of course, was this fabulous childhood TV host and was wonderful about interviewing kids and having guests on or what have you. And there's this great story that I love about this little boy whose two favorite people in the entire world and two favorite TV shows were Mr. Rogers and another person about the time of Mr. Rogers, which was by the name of Captain Kangaroo. So there, go back a little ways, right? And Captain Kangaroo, I don't know what to tell you about him. He was just another childhood host, and his person he had on a lot was Mr. Green Cheese and some other guests. And so this boy loved both of those. And then one day he heard the news that, unbelievably enough, that Captain Kangaroo was going to go and be on Mr. Rogers' show. And so he marked it on his calendar. He just couldn't believe it. Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Rogers in this very same show. And so they X'd the calendar, he and his parents, as the time arrived. And then the day came. And he was watching Mr. Rogers. And then there was that knock on the door. And Mr. Rogers opened the door. And there was Captain Kangaroo. And the boy was so excited, his parents were so excited, and Mr. Rogers invited Captain Kangaroo in, and the little boy ran in the other room. And his parents couldn't figure out what was going on with this little boy. And so they went and got this little boy, and he's just kind of sitting in a chair, and he's kind of shuttering to himself, and his mom and dad said, "Well, listen, what's wrong? We've got Mr. Rogers, and we've got Captain Kangaroo." And the little boy said, "Too good. Too good. It's too good to be true," right? Oh, man. Well, I don't know if you've ever had a moment that seemed too good to be true. Anyone, have you ever had a mountaintop moment in your life? Now, in this morning's reading, it's not Captain Kangaroo and it's not Mr. Rogers, but Jesus has a moment with Moses and Elijah. And Peter, James, and John are privileged to experience that moment. And honestly, they're not quite sure what to do. What do you do with the mountaintop moment? There's a great story that I love that Reinhold Messer, if you're a mountain climbing fan, then you probably know the name of Reinhold Messer, because back in 1978, he became the first person to make a successful ascent of Mount Everest without supplemental oxygen. And he's still alive, still has some great stories about mountain climbing. But the reporters rushed to him after his ascent of Mount Everest alone without supplemental oxygen, and they're having this big interview, and they asked him what the most difficult moment of that ascent to Mount Everest was. He said, "Honestly, the most difficult moment was not the ascent, it was the descent, because I could no longer see the summit." Because I could no longer see the summit. And I think maybe in this reading this morning, and perhaps in our own lives, the disciples are having a moment, and they're having a mountaintop moment, and it's a beautiful moment, but it isn't The most difficult thing, is when we're on our way down into the valley and we can no longer see the summit. I think in our own lives, we have moments in our lives where we have this mountaintop moment and then we're headed towards the valley and we're not sure quite how to handle it. And I think perhaps in this reading this morning, there's some spiritual truths that God's Word would share with us today. I think the first thing is that we all have some mountaintop moments. Now, your moment may not be Mr. Rogers and Captain Kangaroo. Honestly, it's probably not mine, though I appreciate that. And your moment is not going to be quite like Peter, James, and John or Jesus in this moment, where Jesus is with Moses and Elijah, but we all have some mountaintop moments. Maybe it's a wonderful worship service like hearing the Black Voices of Inspiration, so I hope there's a little mountaintop in the worship service this morning. Maybe it's a retreat, or maybe it's some moment where you're walking through nature and God whispered to you, or maybe it's a moment when you're reading God's Word or just alone and God just sort of touches you in that incredible moment, or some retreat or conference or something like that. But we all have mountaintop moments, and I think we need those mountaintop moments, don't we? I think that Jesus needed that mountaintop moment because this was towards his ministry where he would turn towards Jerusalem and he knew something of what lay ahead. And he knew that he had his mission to accomplish. And so in this moment, God provided a mountaintop moment with Moses and with Elijah. And it's interesting because Moses and Elijah, the other two, they also had mountaintop moments, didn't they? I think about Moses for a moment. Moses had that moment where he was called up to Mount Sinai and was delivered the Ten Commandments. You remember that moment? And in that moment, we're told that the Israelites could not handle that. Only Moses could, and the cloud was covered with this smoke, and there was lightning, and there was fire, and there's incredible thunder. And when Moses came down, his face shone, just like Jesus in this moment. And so you had this incredible booming moment. But then, interestingly enough, if you look at Elijah, what was Elijah's mountaintop moment? Remember? Elijah was just burnt out on life, and he had had some successful ministry, had this duel with the prophets of Baal, and then found out that Queen Jezebel was after him, and so he just had a nervous breakdown. You know, sometimes our greatest victory is followed by our worst breakdown. We just get up high, and we're disappointed, and we come crashing down. And so he flees out into the desert, and he just sort of collapses. He's given up. Then God speaks to him and tells him to go to the mountaintop. And so he goes to the mountain, he goes to a cave in the mountain. Do you remember that moment? And when he's in that cave, then all of a sudden, incredible wind. Remember the wind, the loud rushing wind? And it says God wasn't in the loud rushing wind. And then there was this earthquake, and then it says God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was fire, and God wasn't in the fire. But then there's this still small voice that whispers to Elijah, come on out. And to be in the presence of God in that moment. And God's Shekinah glory shined on Elijah and gave him a new mission, a new ministry to go forward from there. And so you have Moses who has this Mount Sinai moment of clouds and fire and thunder. And you have Elijah that's just the opposite. It's a still small voice. And I think in our own lives, some of us have a moment where it may be just some loud, raucous, wonderful concert where God comes to us. And other folks, God's going to come to us in that still small voice where God whispers to us. But we hear God's voice leading us and it becomes a mountaintop moment. Our mountaintop moments are not all the same, but we all have them. And Jesus had a mountaintop moment there. And so we all have those mountaintop moments. But here's the bad news. The mountaintop moment doesn't last forever. I mean, don't you wish that it could? Don't you wish that it did? I bet Jesus wished that in that moment, but Jesus knew better. Jesus knew that he was given inspiration and momentum to go towards his mission in the valley. But Peter in that moment didn't quite know what to do, right? You got to love Peter because Peter says what all of us think. You know what I'm saying? Don't you love a guy like that? We're all thinking of it. Peter blurts it out without thinking. And so Peter blurts out, hey, let's just make three cabins and we can hang out here forever. And then Luke puts this little parenthetical remark. Don't you like that? He did not know what he was saying. That's a polite remark. He did not know what he was saying. Peter was clueless. But probably all of us would be because we'd all like to stay on the mountain. But they knew later on that that mountaintop moment was really a momentum moment for Jesus as he turned towards his ministry, which is to head him towards Calvary, where he'd give his life on Calvary, that we'd know God's forgiveness and grace, and then was raised to new life, that we'd have the promise of eternal life. And so God turned the greatest tragedy into the greatest triumph. And God can do that for us too. So we all have mountaintop moments, but we can't stay on the mountain forever. And I think Reinhold Messer knew that too. He knew that as he had made the ascent, but then as he was going into the valley and the summit was behind him, he knew that he'd accomplished that, but he had a mission to tell people about the wonders of God's nature and the beauty and the wonder of that moment. And so the mountaintop can't last forever, and we have to go into the valley. But here, I think, is the clue to all of that, which is that the mountain highs are for the valley lows. The mountain highs are for the valley lows. When we have those mountain moments, I think they empower us and they give us perspective so we can accomplish our mission in the valley below. And that's what was taking place for Jesus in that moment. Jesus maybe was having Moses and Elijah, these perennial figures from back in the Hebrew prophet days, some of the two of the greatest of all time. And maybe they were just praying with Jesus in that moment. Maybe they were whispering to him and saying that all of history and all of heaven and earth was watching and waiting for this moment. And Jesus needed some prayer in that moment. And so also God spoke to him. The Father spoke to him and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," and gave him the impetus to descend into the valley. I think in our own lives we have those moments, right? I don't know if you're in a valley this moment. This morning, perhaps it's the valley of an illness, or perhaps the illness of a spouse. Maybe it's the valley of some financial difficulties. Maybe it's the valley of the loss of a loved one, or so many other things that we are touched with in life, and we just don't know how to navigate through that valley. I think when we find ourselves in the valley, then we need to recall those mountaintop moments in life, and to realize that God is real, that God made himself special in that moment to give us the power and the perspective to make it through that. And that's the way it was with Jesus. I think the perspective is there in the mountaintop too. You know, when you're up on the mountain, or say you're in a helicopter or a plane or whatever, you ever been in the, they're talking about the traffic and they give you the helicopter view, and then you go, oh, now I see what that looks like, right? So, and I think in the mountaintop moment, we're empowered, but we're also given perspective, and we know that the valley won't last forever. It's just a chapter of our life that helps us to go forward. I think about Moses and Elijah who were there too. Moses had his mountaintop moment, and before him, after that mountain, lay the wilderness. The people wouldn't have the faith to go forward into the promised land, and he'd have to wander with them for 40 years. And so Moses needed that mountaintop moment to go through 40 years of wandering in the valley of the wilderness, to hear the people grumble and complain. Elijah needed that mountaintop moment because Elijah was going to go forth and do some of the most amazing things in his life after that mountaintop moment. But he needed to be re-empowered. He needed a new perspective in life. And you and I, when we have our mountaintop moments, we need to be empowered by that. Let it sort of seep into our soul and energize us and to give us perspective, the mountaintop perspective that will help us to go through the valley of life. I think about a moment for, I can't help but recall Martin Luther King Jr. and his great mountaintop speech. Do you recall that moment when he was in Memphis, Tennessee on April 3rd, 1968, and he talked about all the trials, and he was there to help speak for the sanitation workers in the city of Memphis and all the things they were going to do, and he'd had some threats on his life, which unfortunately came true, but when he was done with that speech, he closed it with those great moments. I can't begin to say it like he did, but he said, you know, I'm not fearing anyone today because I've been to the mountaintop. And I may not get there with you, but I know that we as a people will get there. We'll get to the place as we work towards racial equality and justice and freedom for all in the world, and where race and language and place doesn't matter anymore, and we work towards a better world together as one people. And so he needed that mountaintop moment. Unfortunately, an assassin took his life, but his dream lived on. And God gave him the perspective, I believe, that his mission would live on. And he was there to speak to all of us for truth and justice. Now, your mountaintop moment may not be that grand, and your trial that you face hopefully will not be that difficult. But God gives us all some mountains and some valleys in life. And I don't know whether you're on a mountain this morning or a valley, but know that life Life as it is full of mountains and valleys. That's just part of the rhythm of life. Read the Bible. It's a mountain and valley one after another. But when you're on the mountain, just treasure it. Know that it won't last forever. But when you're in the valley, recall that moments on the mountain where God has done incredible things. I've been in the hospital room a number of times, and many times during a difficult moment, we'll have Holy Communion. And sometimes the person is really even fading. And sometimes they don't really even have all their awareness, but sometimes when we gather as family to have Holy Communion, you can kind of see them all of a sudden perk up because they hear the Lord's Prayer. And they see and they touch those elements of the bread and the cup, and they hear those words, "Do this in remembrance of me." And they remember the mountaintop moments in worship, and they remember Jesus' moment on the cross when he gave his life for us that we could know God's forgiveness and grace and experience that mountaintop. And they remember that Jesus rose from the dead, and that's the greatest mountaintop of all. And so know that God will see us through the valleys because of the mountains. I want to close with just a couple thoughts, and one is from a great book that I love by Robert Fulghum. I don't know if you read it. Everything I Ever Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. Do you know that book? It's a great book. So anyway, even if you haven't, there's this great moment that he's talking about when he's in this small Iowa grocery store in a small rural Iowa town, and he has to go into this grocery store and get something. He's on a trip. But as he's there, he's kind of standing in line, and he noticed two things. He noticed that there was a revolving door, and only a revolving door to get out and to get in. But on the exit there, it said, you have to go in to go out. You have to go in to go out. And he thought to himself, and he goes, you know, that's a great life truth. You have to go in to go out. And I think in terms of the mountaintop moment, what it means is we have to allow God's Spirit to go into our heart and our life in order to go out into the world. And so when that's happening to you, allow God to speak to your heart. Allow God to lift your heart for that moment, because there's a valley ahead, and God wants to strengthen you and lift you in that moment. Maybe God wants to heal you in your spirit and the heartache and heartbreak in that moment. You have to go in order to go out. But know that we all need to go out as well, because the mountain is for the mission that God has for us, whatever your mission is in life. And so that relates to the second sign that he saw, which is next to the cash register. It's one of those ones that you push, you know, the change comes rolling out. And it said, take your change with you as you go. And he thought to himself, you know, that's really the other truth in life, isn't it? Take your change with you as you go. So wherever you go in the world, you know, you have that mountaintop moment. You've been changed. You've been impacted in a way. But God has made us salt and life, not to stay in the mountain, not to be under the bushel, but to go out into the world and to be salt in our world, to make a difference in the world and to be light in our world. And light, it shines brightest in the darkest night. And so God wants us to take our change with us as we go. And then one final note, which is this, that I suppose in a certain way this foreshadows all of life in an eternal moment, doesn't it? I mean, because you look at Jesus on the mountain and you see Jesus with Moses and you see Jesus with Elijah and you see God speaking to him, and you realize, and maybe Jesus realized, that there's a mountain that we will all ascend that will never end. And that's God's eternal home. And that's a moment where God will share with us the Last Supper, which becomes the First Supper. It will be a banquet. It will be a homecoming. And so that is a mountaintop that will never end, where we ourselves will see Jesus face to face, and we'll blurt out like Peter, let's go ahead and make some cabins and stay here forever. And God will say, yep, it's time to do that. But that moment isn't here yet. What is here now is for you and I to take up the mission that God has given us, to take the momentum of the mountaintop and use the mountain high for valley low. Amen? Amen. Let's pray for a second. Lord, we thank you that you touch us with some mountain highs. And even this morning, as we listen to this great choir, we're touched in heart and mind and spirit. So help us to take the mountain perspective and the mountain power with us as we serve you as lights in your world. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.